Welcome everybody to the GFB podcast, God, Family, Business. My name is Raul Avila and I am your host, and I hope you enjoy today's show. So let's get started, man. Where is it at? I lost it. There we go. Let's get started with a word of prayer. Thank you, Father God, for blessing every single man that's joining today, that that is about to hear something that comes from you. We welcome you. We want you to anoint every single person that's going to speak today, that you guide us into the right direction, into your direction. Anything that gets closer to you, Lord, let this meeting be that meeting. Thank you, Father God, for blessing every single man, that you allow our hearts to be open, our ears to be open, so we could hear your message and we could understand and get to know you better. In the name of Jesus we pray, amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. All right, champs. So here we go. Here we go. Chapter 6, how can I have a relationship with God? Man, I was reading this. I read this several times, but I was reading about an hour ago just to get a little bit more information and see what else I didn't catch, because it is probably one of the longest chapters that we're going to go over in this book. And each chapter is like 3 to 4 pages long. So I'm going to read to you the parts that really stood out, not the whole chapter, but just the main thing, right? So it talks about sin versus salvation. So I'm going to start with the scripture. It says Genesis chapter 1, verse 28 and 27 and 28. It says, so God created mankind in his own image. In the image of God, he created them, male and female. He created them. God blessed them and said to them, be fruitful and increase in numbers, fill the earth and subdue the earth. And then another scripture says, Ephesians chapter 2 verse 10 says, for we are God's handiwork, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do. So in other words, you're not an accident. And I always read at the end, I'm gonna read the love letter. The love letter, which explains a little bit more about this, and all the truths are in God's scripture. You know, I know in the beginning that's not. See, I just said that kind of like if it is an unwritten law or if it's like that. But the thing is that I didn't believe that before. And if there's some of you men that don't believe that right now, I totally get you. I know how you feel, because I felt the same way. But as the more I got to know God, the more I got to, I went to church, the more I went to reading the Bible, the more I talked to people that I look up to, the more I realized that, you know what, guys, the Word of God is the truth and is the most purest truth that you could find anywhere in this world, because God is perfect. So what he's saying here is that you're not an accident. You were wonderfully and fearfully made. You are more than a collection of atoms. You're more than just this spontaneous thing that was created by a monkey. You know, you're way more than that, right? Your life is significant and filled with deep meaning. There is a purpose in your life. So you were made to be with God. Think about that. We were made to be with him. And I know sometimes we're not perfect. We all make mistakes. We are all sinners, by the way. You're not alone. We all mess up every single day. And sometimes we feel like we're not worthy to be with God, but we were made to be with God. How powerful is that, right? The infinite, eternal, uncreated God. When I read that, I was like, dang, that's powerful. Uncreated. He wasn't created. He created, right? The infinite, eternal, uncreated God not only knows your name, every detail of your life, all your deepest fears and hopes, but he also wants to have a relationship with you. So in spite of, see, that's crazy. He knows all of our deepest secrets, our dark secrets, our things that we'll never ever say to the public, maybe not even to anybody in this world, but he knows them. And in spite of that, he wants to have a relationship with you. How incredible is that? I know for some of us, it's hard to believe. I know it was hard to believe for me in the beginning, because I'm like, nah, why would he want to have a relationship with somebody all messed up like me? So you have gifts and abilities entrusted to you, and they have to be shared with others. And that's how he created you. Every single person, I don't care if you feel like you don't have any gifts, you don't have any talents, you don't have any abilities. I'm here to tell you that he entrusted you with talents, with abilities, and he entrusted you to use them so that you could share them so that others could benefit from them. That's pretty powerful. I mean, we were created also to be winners. We were created. I know I mentioned one time in previous recordings, I mentioned that God created us also to want to be eternal. One time a lady, an older church lady told me, you know why you don't want to die? Why we all want to live? Because we were created to be eternal. We were created in the image of God. And God, there's no beginning, there's no end. He is eternal. So because we were created in that, and we have that spirit of eternity, that's why we don't want to die. Well, the reason you don't want to die is because you are going to die and you are eventually going to have an eternity. Does that make sense? We're all going to have an eternity. So we all have that inside of us. We all have, it says, if you ever wanted to use your gifts and meaning and in meaningful work for something bigger than yourself, this is the reason. It's why people often say they're inspired watching an artist or a craftsman use their talents. We were created to live this way. So have you guys ever been in a movie? Have you ever watched the movie and after the movie you're like so pumped up, you know, maybe the Avengers, you know, and you want to be Iron Man, or you relate to the Hulk, right? Because you get mad all the time, or you relate to, you know, to whoever. Maybe you watch the movie Achilles and you're inspired to be like Achilles, right? Maybe you watch the movie Alexander the Great, where he conquered the known world, and you're like, man, I feel like conquering something, you know. I want to show you a quick clip, and I want to stir up those emotions so you could see why, how, and the heart of a man and how you were created. Check this out, guys. This is going to be something that we're all going to relate to. I'm going to show you one of my favorite movies, the best scene of one of my favorite movies. So check it out. Here we go. Hopefully you like this. Here we go. Where is it at? Right here. Hold on.
Earthquake.
No, Captain. Battle formations.
You can do it!
So how do you guys feel? What are the feelings that are going through your body right now? You know, besides the righteous thoughts, you know, honestly, like, obviously this is a bloody movie. There's a lot of, you know, ungodly things in the movie, but the thing is that what stirs inside of you when you watch these type of movies? What's moving inside of you? You know, because sometimes we have that feeling that God created us to be warriors, to be conquerors. We are in a battle that we need to understand that we are in a battle that we need to fight, because the devil is always looking to steal, kill, and destroy. He's prowling like a roaring lion, ready to see who he could devour. He's always coming to he always comes on an opportune time. You know, when the devil tempted Jesus three times, right? After he tempted Jesus three times, what does the Bible say? It says he left to come back for an opportune time. He's always looking for an opportune time. And one of the reasons you like these movies, and man, we resonate with these warrior movies like Braveheart, like Saving Private Ryan, is because that's one of the identities how God created us to be. You know what I mean? He created us. He has this inside of us. But the main thing that he created us for is to have a relationship with him. I'm going to read to you Ephesians. I have it saved right here. It says right here in the book to read Ephesians chapter 2, verse 1 through 9. Okay. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 1 through 9 says, made alive in Christ. As for you, you were dead in your transgressions and sins, in which you used to live when you followed the ways of the world and of the ruler of the kingdom of the air, the spirit who is now at work in those who are disobedient. All of us also lived among them at one time, gratifying the cravings of our flesh and following its desires and thoughts. Like the rest, we were by nature, man, listen to this, deserving of wrath. But, and this is a big but, because of his grace, because of his great love for us, God, who is rich in mercy in Spanish is called misericordia, made us alive with Christ even when we were dead in transgressions. It is by grace you have been saved, you and I. And God raised us up with Christ and seated us with him in the heavenly realm in Christ Jesus, in order that in the coming ages he might show the incomparable riches of his grace. Incomparable riches of his grace, expressed in the kindness to us in Christ Jesus. For it is by grace you have been saved through faith. And this is not from yourselves. It is a gift from God, not by works, so that nobody could boast. So again, it says right here, because of our transgressions and sins, everyone is born spiritually dead. How many of us live this way? All of us. Do we become this way when we make bad choices, or is it in our nature? It is in our nature. See, guys, we are all sinners, right? It is in our nature to sin. How does someone who is spiritually dead become alive? And the answer is, it is a gift of God, which is grace and which is mercy. And then it says, what phrases does verse 8 use to describe this process? And I just mentioned it, right? It is a gift of God. So the reason you can't live the life you were created to live is because you can't live the perfect life with a perfect God if you're not perfect. Even the best among us realize we're not perfect. We hurt others with our words and choices. Often we hurt the people that we love the most. We don't need help feeling guilty. We feel guilty because we are guilty. Deeper problems isn't the evils that's out there. It's our capacity for evil that is inside of us that is truly terrifying. So the tendency which can be found in exactly every human being who has ever lived is called sin. That's a tendency that has lived in every single uh, uh, tendency that has that is in every single human being. We are all sinners. Most of us give ourselves too much credit, but we all have the tendency to give ourselves credit for any success around us while we blame others for our mistakes. Isn't that true, guys? We blame others because we don't like to take responsibility, but when we do have success, we like to take credit for our success. And the thing about that, the problem with that is that we, when we give credit, when we blame others, then we don't grow. We're not growing. And that's kind of like in our nature, right? So what do we do with the problem of sin? Number one, one option is to try really hard to be perfect. Are any of us perfect, guys? We're gonna fail miserably in that one, right? Number two is a second option is to decide that because we're not perfect, then God is not perfect either. But God, a God like us, doesn't have. So if we think that God is not perfect, then a God like that doesn't have much to offer. If he's like us, then that God doesn't really have much to offer, right? And the third one, third option is to find someone who is perfect to be a substitute on our behalf. And now we're getting into the nitty-gritty, man, because that the answer for that one was Jesus right there. Jesus was a perfect one that God sent so that he could die for our sins, for our imperfections, right? In Corinthians, it says Ephesians is describing it. This is what Jesus did on the cross because God is perfect. He can't allow evil and injustice to continue without being dealt with. This leaves two options. Number one, eternal separation from God. Or number two, the evil and dead are made righteous and alive to be with God forever. So in Corinthians, I'm going to read this last part. It's a little bit of extra information, but I think is really, really important for us to understand the power and the beauty of what God, how God and Jesus, what they did for us so that we could live free. In the 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 21, Paul says it this way: God made him who had no sin to be sin for us so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. So the word righteousness is a legal word that means in right standing. Because we couldn't live the perfect life we were created for, Jesus came and lived in our place. So Jesus exchanged his perfection for our guilt. His perfection for our guilt. So we didn't deserve it. We couldn't earn it. So Jesus lived the life we should have lived but couldn't. He died the death we deserved in our place. This is why Ephesians says we have been saved from what we deserved by faith. Putting in trust in what Jesus did for us, not in our own ability to save ourselves. We have no power and ability to save ourselves, guys. We can't do it. We can't live that perfect life. I asked my dad once, because my dad's a Catholic. He's a hardcore Catholic, right? And my mom. And my dad, I asked him once, hey, Dad, do you know if you're going to heaven? Do you know if you're going to heaven? And he said, I don't know if I'm going to heaven. I don't know. And I said, do you believe that Jesus died for your sins? And he said, yes. Have you accept him as your savior? And he said, yes. Then I said, Dad, and I shook and I stuck out my hand like that, and I said, Dad, congratulations, you're going to heaven. You could be positive that you're going to heaven, and that's crazy, right? See, the thing is that he believes that he still has to he has to earn heaven, and we can't earn heaven because we can't live that perfect life to earn heaven. So that's pretty crazy, right? This is why this miracle is called a gift from God. The Greek word for grace is charis, and it simply means a gift. There's nothing for us to brag or boast about. God gave it to us. It is a gift. This is why we don't clean ourselves up to enter into a relationship with Jesus. We'll never be clean enough. The real starting place in recognizing our utter inability to produce a relationship with God any other way. Now check this one out. I put a big emphasis on this. It says, being nice to people, following spiritual rules, giving to the poor, knowing lots of facts, and memorizing scriptures of the Bible. These things have value and may improve the quality of our lives, but they don't have the power to save us. Wow. Think about that one, guys. That's kind of hard, a tough pill to swallow, because we think that we are earning our way to heaven, but it is a gift from God that He has given you. So I know this is not easy, right? The pain of poor choices can lead you to believe beyond hope that you're beyond hope, or you feel like because of what somebody else did to you, you'll never be able to completely put those painful experiences behind you. And Jesus spoke to those two types of people, that it doesn't matter the poor choices you've done in the past, and it doesn't matter what other people have done to you. It doesn't matter. God fixes those things, right? He's going to help us overcome these two things that you've done to people and people have done to you. It's awesome. Next, it's not easy to be honest and humble enough to admit that you need a savior when you're self-sufficient and accustomed to success, especially for those of you that have it going on, that good things are happening to you. You know, it's difficult because a grown man, it's hard for them to admit that he comes up short, especially if everything is going good for you. But on the other side of this willingness, you'll discover a power far beyond your own ability. Finally, and I'm done with this one. Finally, there's often a hesitation from the simple thought, can I live up to this? Guys, I'm the first one to say that I feel like I'm not worthy. Sometimes I feel like I'm doing this teaching, I'm like, man, you know, if people knew your past, right? Some people say, somebody says, hey, how you doing? Your answer and our answer should be better than I deserve, better than we deserve, right? Finally, there's a hesitation. Can I live up to this? It sounds so compelling, so exciting, which only increases the pressure. No one wants to fail. No one wants to be a hypocrite. But when you understand the ability to live this way is not a function of your willpower, you're free to step into a new life in Christ Jesus. So anyways, guys, was that a powerful chapter or what? I know there's a lot to chew on, but what are some of the things that you would say that are part of something that I read, right? How does this description of what it means to have a relationship with God different from what you previously thought? Is this how you learned God in the beginning? I know there's a lot of people that are Christians that are in church, but some of you may not be, and I want to know what you think about this. How did you grow up? Did you grow up Catholic like me, where the mindset is a little bit different, or any other religion that the mindset is a little bit different? Who wants to jump on and
hey, champ, can you hear me?
And say something. Yeah, hello? We can hear you, bro.
Hey, it's me, Lupe.
Oh, Lupe. Hey, what's up, Lupe?
Yay, what's up, man?
From Texas.
Hey, that was awesome. Yes, sir, Austin. Austin, Texas. Hey, man, so I appreciate it, man. That was phenomenal. And, man, I love the video, brother. It was a great video, too. I wanted to keep watching the movie. But that's another one. But, no, I think all of us grew up a certain way. Obviously, I grew up in the Catholic, like you. And parents always thought, you know what, you got to go to church and you got to talk to the priest.
Thank you so much for listening to our podcast. Hope that you enjoyed today's episode. If you found this information valuable, do me a huge favor and share this with your friends. Until the next one, may God richly bless you.